This is a synopsis of the Dvar Malchus of Shabbos Parshas Vaschanan, Hey Tinase. It's also Shabbos Nachamu, and the Rebbe addressed that theme. It's well known that the Haftorah, the prophetic reading, is connected to the weekly Parsha. In fact, it's a sample of the weekly Parsha. Now, there are certain Haftarahs that were selected not because of their connection to the Parsha, but because of events that occur around the time of the reading of that Haftorah. But even those, the Rebbe says, has a connection to the Parsha. And the reason for that is because every event is connected to the Parsha of the week. Therefore, the Haftorah of this Shabbos, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, be comforted, my people, which is read as a consolation after Tisha B'Av, and after the prophecies of doom and destruction that were read before Tisha B'Av. So this Haftorah, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, is also connected to the Parsha of the week, Vaschanan. And what is the connection? The Rebbe says it's simple. The Haftorah talks about a double consolation, because it's referring to the consolation for the first temple and also for the second temple. That's why we have Nachamu, Nachamu. And that comfort will come with the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. What do we find that parallels that in the Parsha? The Parsha, we also talk about how Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with God, implored God, to enter into the land. V'yaschanan el Hashem, I have implored God. And if his plea would have been answered in the affirmative, and the Jews would have entered Eretz Yisrael together with Moshe Rabbeinu, that would have brought the ultimate and complete redemption, and the eternal one. And therefore the Beis HaMikdash would have been eternal, because everything that Moshe had done with his own hands, so to speak, lasted forever, the Gemara says. So that means that the theme of this Parsha relates to the fact that the Beis HaMikdash would have been eternal. But that's still not a sufficient connection, the Rebbe says, because the fact is that in Parsha Vaschanan, it actually talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu's request was not accepted, and he did not enter the land, and Yeshua instead brought the Jews into the land. So this entry into the land of Israel was not a perfect one, and therefore it led to the ultimate destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the Haftorah talks about the consolation, the double consolation, with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the third temple, which will be an eternal one, and an eternal redemption that will entirely eliminate every trace of the exile and the destruction. So this Parsha stresses the need for consolation, but it's not connected to the Parsha itself. Now, in order to understand the connection, we have to pay attention to a special connection that this Haftorah has to Geula, to redemption. The words Nachamu Nachami, the double expression, those two words are directly connected to Geula, not just because they deal with Nechama, with consolation of the redemption, but also because there's a repetition. There are two words repeated, Nachamu Nachamu, and repetition is a sign of Geula. As the Medrash explains, that there are five letters that are doubled letters, the letters that have a regular letter and a final letter, a Chaf, a Mem, Nun, Fe, and Tzadik. And they are all connected to Geula. And the Medrash gives an example. God says to Abraham, Lech Lecha, which refers to his liberation from Haran to go to the land of Israel. Or when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the Jewish people about the Exodus from Egypt, he says, Pakeid Pakadati Eschem, I have remembered you. He uses the same phrase, Pakeid, with a fe that's repeated. So that's the liberation from Egypt. And we also have a verse that says, Kiflayim Leteshia, which is an allusion to the fact that when you have Kiflayim, you have double, you have Teshia. One of the meanings of that is salvation, Yeshua, redemption. So the Rebbe explains that when you repeat something, why is that connected to redemption? Because repetition is not just two times as much or three times as much, but when you say repetition, it means ad infinitum. You repeat, and you repeat the repetition because there's no limit how many times to repeat it, and that is what characterizes the complete redemption, the future redemption, because it'll be an eternal one. That means it'll be constant and infinite, and likewise the Beis HaMikdash that will be rebuilt will be an eternal one, will be a perpetual one. So every double, which really means multiplying it without any end, is connected to Geula, which will be an experience that is infinite and without an end. Now the double expression of Nachamu, Nachamu is even more pronounced in terms of its connection to Geula than Lech Lecha or Pocket Pakadati and the like, because Pocket Pakadati are not the exact same words. Pocket is one word, Pakadati is a different word, albeit with the same root. Same thing with Lech Lecha, same letters, but they have different vowels. Whereas Nachamu, Nachamu is the exact same word that is repeated. What does that tell us? That when the doubling is not absolutely identical, that indicates that we're talking about different modes of redemption. That means you can have different modes, different modalities. Each one has an advantage that the other one doesn't have. So it's not an absolute infinite experience, because we're talking about two different paths to Geula, to redemption, each one not having the advantage of the other, each one being different and therefore somewhat limited. But when you have the identical word, Nachamu, and they repeat it again, Nachamu, we're talking about something that is truly an infinite, that is not in any way limited and finite. And this could be connected to what the Medrash says, that Nachamu, Nachami Ami is something that God himself says, and God is the ultimate infinite one. Now a question could still be asked, since the double consolation of God for the two temples, the holy temples that were destroyed, will come about through the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to console us with words and the like, but it's going to be with the actual rebuilding of the temple. So what difference does it make if the consolation is for one Beis HaMikdash or for a Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed twice, if in the end we're going to get one Beis HaMikdash? But the truth is that each Beis HaMikdash characterizes a different quality, a different advantage that the other one doesn't have. The first Beis HaMikdash distinguished itself that it revealed a much more lofty, godly revelation. You had the Ark with the tablets, and that only existed in the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Ark represents the revelation of godliness in the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the second temple distinguished itself by the fact that it had a greater connection to and was more identified with the physical world. And it lasted longer for 420 years as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, which lasted only 410. It also had occupied a larger space, a larger area. So the first temple was greater in terms of its divine revelation, the degree of godliness, the magnitude of godliness. And the second temple was distinguished in that it had a greater connection to the physical world. The third Beis HaMikdash will combine those two qualities. It will have the quality of the first Beis HaMikdash and of the second. But it's not going to be two separate qualities. But since the third temple will be absolutely infinite, without any boundaries, so therefore, as a result, it will automatically contain within it all the different qualities. It'll be an infinite revelation of godliness, and will permeate the physical world, and the two will coexist. That's the special distinction of the double repetition of the word Nachamu in the Haftarah. Now, when we reflect, a little bit more deeply on the matter that we just discussed, we'll discover that this very concept can be found in our Parsha as well. Parshas Voschanan, what stands out is the repetition of the so-called Ten Commandments, which were already written in the book of Exodus, in the Parsha of Yisro. And the explanation given for the repetition is, because the first time the Ten Commandments were given, that revealed godliness in the world. And it expresses the powerful manifestation of God's presence on Mount Sinai. So the first tablets represent, the first version of the Ten Commandments rather, represent God coming and revealing himself in the most magnificent way. Whereas the second temple underscores more the fact that the godliness was internalized and was absorbed by the Jewish people. So the fact that there's a repetition of the Ten Commandments in our parsha, which we said before, repetition represents something that is infinite, represents the infinity within Torah that will be revealed in the future, complete redemption. And also that will have both qualities, the quality of something coming from above and it's being internalized within the ones who are below. And the two will be a seamless unity. The one will come as a consequence of the other. Since we're talking about true infinity, there is no conflict between the two. And that's the connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah. They both talk about the infinite godly energy that will come into this world with a redemption, and because of which you will have the two qualities coexisting together, the two qualities of Nachamu for the two temples, and the two versions of the Ten Commandments, which represents the merger of the two elements, two aspects of Torah. Now, this is one of the reasons, the Rebbe says, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. It's Yeshua who brought them in, which lasted for quite a long time, and then we went through this long, arduous exile in order to refine the world and to do it effectively and efficiently. And now, when we will enter into the land with the future redemption, we're going to have all the different qualities and all the different advantages coming together. We'll have the greatest revelation and manifestation of godliness that characterized the age of Moshe, and would also permeate the world through the efforts of Yeshua. And they'll coexist, because then the true infinity of God will be revealed and will be revealed eternally. Now, in addition to the fact that this Shabbos underscores, both in the Parsha and the Haftorah, infinity, true infinity, that will be in the days of Geula, so that can also be, that is also reflected in the date that Erev Shabbos, the day before Shabbos, was the 15th day of Av. The 15th day of the month, of every month, indicates something that is complete. The moon then becomes a full moon, and the full moon is a metaphor for the completeness of the Jewish people that will happen in the days of Geula. A full moon is a symbol of redemption. That's the 15th of any month. The fact that it's the 15th of Av indicates that this is the shleimus, the perfection of the month, in the very month in which Mashiach was born. As the Talmud says, that Mashiach was born at the time of the destruction on Tisha B'Av, and that's the day when the mazel of the person who has his birthday, in other words, Melech HaMashiach, is very strong. And the fact that there was a destruction, it says that the destruction was with a stipulation that the Beis HaMikdash will be built in the month of Av. So the 15th of Av indicates perfection of the moon in relation to Mashiach's being born on Tisha B'Av, and this is when his mazel is strong. And the fact that it's also Erev Shabbos, the 15th of Av occurs on an Erev Shabbos, in the year the Rebbe said this, as well as this year, that indicates the completeness of the preparation for the Geula, because the Geula is called a time of Shabbos, and Erev Shabbos is the ultimate time of preparation. So we have all of those things coinciding. Now, one of the commandments that our sages said about the 15th of Av is that from the 15th of Av and onward, you're supposed to increase the Torah study at the nights, because the nights get longer from that time onward. And when you increase in your Torah study in the nights following the 15th of Av, that increases life and adds life to your life. A Jew who is essentially a good Jew makes an effort normally to fulfill the mitzvah of Torah study. So this lesson of the 15th of Av tells us that from the 15th of Av, we cannot just be satisfied with doing what we are normally doing, which is a limited degree of learning Torah, which is adequate based on the basic requirements, but we have to go beyond that. It should be bligvul, unlimited. If so, this instruction is also connected and facilitates the preparation for the true expression of infinity that will come in the times of redemption, and also prepare us for the eternal life that we'll experience then. And to use the language of our sages, Yosef Chaim Al Chayev, it will add life to our life. In other words, eternal life. This is especially poignant This year, the year in which the Rebbe said the Sicha, which is the year in which Melech HaMashiach will be revealed, which is the year of Niflois, of wonders, and everyone had seen, and they will still see great wonders that will really bring people to a state of great excitement and exhilaration. For example, the Rebbe says, right now there's a kinnus, a gathering, a convention of the shluchim of the Rebbe in Russia in order to consult one another how to add in the dissemination of the fountains throughout the entire world. That very country, which in the past waged war against the Rebbe's activities, is now honoring the shluchim, his shluchim. And when we're at the end of this year, after the month of Nisan, which is the month of Geula, of redemption, and all the other months that followed, and we're preparing to get ready for Elul, it's clear and it's so obvious that we have to have the Geula Shlema, that the complete redemption has to come, taken from Miyad Mamish. It's an expression the Rebbe used over and over again, which translated in English means imminently, immediately, and not just in theory, but Mamish down here on earth, in the most literal sense of the word. If so, the Rebbe concludes, since we are now on the threshold of redemption, when the true infinity will be revealed, we have to begin to have a taste of this that we could experience even today, and to add, by going beyond our limits, beyond our boundaries in the observance of mitzvahs and the study of Torah, particularly the inner teachings of Torah, and particularly the teachings of Geula, of redemption, and it's very appropriate that it should be done with 10 men together, 10 people together. Now, in Ethics of the Fathers, Pirkei Avos, that we read this Shabbos, it says, Histakil b'shleisha dvarim ve'ein atabol l'dei avera. Reflect on three things, or gaze intently, meditate on three things, and you will not come to the handles of sin. And after that, the Mishnah lists three things. But one could explain that very phrase in the following manner. Histakil, which means gaze, look. But looking, the Rebbe says, and meditating, reflecting in a very deep way, in a very profound way, to the point where it becomes so vivid, it becomes so real, as if you had seen it with your own eyes. And it says, B'shloisha dvarim, look at the three things, referring, alluding to the third Beis HaMikdash, which comprises three qualities. Number one, the third Beis HaMikdash contains within it the qualities of the first Beis HaMikdash. Number two, it contains within it the qualities of the second Beis HaMikdash. And number three, it contains the unification, the synthesis of these two qualities. Not one quality plus another quality, it's the two as they are totally synthesized. That's what the Mishnah means by reflecting on three things. And by doing so, we will merit immediately, imminently, to see in actuality the third redemption and the third Beis HaMikdash. We will merit the new Torah that will be revealed, meaning the new dimensions of Torah that will be revealed. And we will see the fulfillment of Moshe's request. His request will be granted, which he said, I want to cross over to see this good land. He will then see the fulfillment of that request. And the main thing is that it should be taken from Yad Mamish. It should be immediately, imminently, in true fashion, down here on this earth. Just to give you a synopsis, a summary of the synopsis, the Sikkum, the Rebbe says the Parsha of Haftorah of Eschanan is connected to the Parsha of the week. The Haftorah talks about Nechama, about consolation with a future redemption, a double consolation, and the Parsha talks about Moshe Rabbeinu's request to go into the land, and if Moshe would have entered, that would have been redemption. But he didn't go into the land, so we need to find another deeper connection, a tighter connection, of the Haftorah of Nachamu to the Parsha. And the Rebbe explained that the connection is that it's Nachamu is a double expression. Double expression represents something that is infinite. It has all the qualities of the two temples, and likewise, Sedra, the Parsha talks about the second version of the Ten Commandments, which also contain the two qualities of Torah, Torah that comes from above, the Torah that is permeated and internalized within us, just like the two temples. The first was a godly revelation, the second one was internalized, more closer to the world itself, and the third temple will combine those two qualities. And it's also connected to the 15th of Av, which is the time when the Jewish people reach their fulfillment, their completion, just like the moon reaches a full moon, the 15th of Av, is the month in which Mashiach is born, and the fact that it's Erev Shabbos, the 15th of Av, is a preparation for Shabbos, for the ultimate Shabbos of redemption. And this was the year of Arena Neflois. That's the year that Melech HaMashiach will be revealed, and a year of wonders. So it's obvious that we have to have the redemption now. And the main thing the Rebbe says, Hamasehu Ha'ikar, that we have to increase in matters of Torah mitzvahs and do it in a manner of lamayla mimedidav hagbala, beyond all measurements and all limits and all parameters, to increase the learning of Torah, reveal parts of Torah, and especially pnimius of Torah, and even more particularly the increased learning of the subject of geula, of redemption, in the revealed parts of Torah and in the inner parts of Torah. And it would be even greater if all this learning could be done. As the Mishnah says, when 10 Jews get together and learn Torah, it has a special distinction.